gets pushed to the corner. Smith pursues. He centers, and another goal! It's William Karlsson! And the Knights lead it 3-1 with 5:16 left. Out they come on the left side, shoved forward. Here's Karlsson, left wing. Through the circle, drop past Smith to the back door. They score! Knights take a 1-0 lead. Brayden McNabb from the right side scores against his old club.
Voice of Dan Duva giving us a little bit of what we heard in a couple of the Golden Knights victories. Matter of fact, their final couple victories, and wow, they move on. Hey, good morning. It is Sunday. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We come your way every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We are the radio home of the Vegas Golden Knights, and we are here, like I said, every Sunday. I've got some cast members with us to discuss in a second. Hey, listen, first and foremost, you need to know if you want to call in, give the show a call. It is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. A great place to watch every game. And as I mentioned, I've got my cast of characters in studio with us as always. Missy Lynn to my right on your radio dial. Jose Valonte, man, home as sick as a dog. Missy Lynn just was there. We're hoping we all don't catch what's going around. To my left, I've got Alan Snell in studio. He is LVSportsBiz.com founder, contributing writer, and we're going to talk to him. We've got our Sports Biz Minute. You'll check that out a lot. More going on, as well as producer extraordinaire. You'll also hear him constantly on Vegas Golden Knights Radio right here on Fox Sports Radio, as well as he is the producer of the TC Martin Show. You can hear that weekdays right here on Fox as well, 3 to 4 p.m. And you're going to hear his interview with Spezza Man today. It's going to be pretty cool on Nightcap. That's coming up in a little while as well. Today's all about the Golden Knights, people. And I'm just going to really quickly touch on a couple of things that I was asked driving over here by a very good friend who's a sports fanatic. He's like, so, man, he goes, I know it's all Golden Knights, but there's some huge things going on in sports right now. Obviously, the NBA, if you didn't hear last night, Ben Simmons, triple-double, the first rookie to get a triple-double since Magic Johnson. I'm not going to talk about the NBA today as much.
I mean,
as
first rookie in the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Well, of course, that's what I meant.
It's, well, you got to clarify. Some people may not know.
No, they may not know. But the
my Philadelphia 76ers.
They are. Hey, I'm loving the Philadelphia. They are one of the most fun teams to watch in the NBA right now.
I know you said you're not talking NBA. It was funny. When I was in Los Angeles for game four, I was on the 10 driving into downtown LA, and I saw a billboard put up by apparently some Laker fans. And it was basically trying to court LeBron James to L.A., and my thought process on it was, if you are the Lakers and you have stooped so low to have to put up a billboard to try to recruit LeBron James to come to Los Angeles, you have really fallen hard, because the Lakers' mystique should be enough, but we knew that Kevin Durant wouldn't even talk to them. So maybe things have turned around with Magic and Genie in charge, but trust the process, LeBron. There is a spot waiting for you in the city of brotherly love.
There's a few teams that want to court LeBron James, but again, we'll be getting into the NBA playoffs probably a little bit more next week. You know, I listened to Mags, and you probably heard it, Miss, you guys. JT the Brick has been dedicating his local show to the Golden Knights. He said, we're doing that until they get bumped, if they get bumped, or right up through the Stanley Cup Finals. And we're going to pretty much do the same thing here on Sundays, man. The Golden Knights are the biggest story in town. Like I told my buddy, we're spending a lot of time on them. That's what everyone wants to talk about. It's what I get pelted with questions on every day of the week, from Facebook to texting to emailing. They want to know about the Knights. We'll talk all about them, believe me. But more about NBA down the road. I definitely want to get into the NBA playoffs. I really like it this year. There's actually some parity. There's some surprises. I mean, last year you were talking about the Portland Trailblazers being one player away from becoming an elite team in the NBA, and now all of a sudden it's switched over to the Pelicans being one team away from being an elite team in the NBA.
I think it's great that you have diversity in teams.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, I see nothing wrong with having a Utah-Philly finals. I mean, we've seen Golden State-Cleveland like every year, year in, year out. I think the fresh faces is great for the brand. It's great for the league.
Very much so. And
absolutely.
100%, I agree, and I love what Adam Silver's doing. I am really impressed with him as an NBA commissioner, and I think we're going to see NBA basketball here very soon in Las Vegas.
They're by far the most progressive, forward-thinking league. Everything from social issues to branding to commercialism.
That's the key.
You know, they're just leading the pack.
I love that Adam Silver is very pro-gay rights. You know, he's been in the Pride Parade in New York. You know, what do I keep hearing? Crumpling papers over there?
Sorry about that.
No, but like, you know, the thing with the NBA is that I think parity is a good thing, but there's too many people who they get too caught up in the ratings. Oh, we can't have a final like that because the ratings will. I don't care about the ratings.
Entertainment. Yeah,
I'm not a television executive. I care about the parity. I want to see different teams winning it. That's why I liked when Cleveland won. I like that Golden State is really good because, you know what? I got sick of watching the Celtics and the Lakers when I was a kid. I got sick of the Lakers in the early 2000s. You know, I like the parity. I like the fact that, hey, you know what? New Orleans, who for basically their entire existence in New Orleans has been a god-awful franchise. You know, if Boogie Cousins doesn't go down, maybe they're competing for a Western Conference title. Now, they may not get there this year, but, you know, Rajon Rondo's been a tremendous addition to that team. Obviously, Anthony Davis is just a freak. I mean, he's such
he's
a gonna fan.
Be, I
he,
said
he
this.
Is a star player. And, you know, the good thing is, I'll just say this, and I know, but LeBron James has made it feasible for guys to be superstars in non-traditional markets. And when I say non-traditional, I mean, you don't have to be in New York. You don't have to be in LA. You don't have to be in Boston. You know, you don't have to be in Houston or Dallas to be a superstar. Anthony Davis is proving you could be in New Orleans and be a superstar. Greek Freak is proven you could be in Milwaukee
well,
and be
I mean,
a superstar.
I mean, basketball, you know, one player can really dominate. You look at LeBron James. I mean, we haven't seen a finals without LeBron James in a while, and it shows you the dominance one player can do. But again, there's the NBA. Okay, so there. My buddy out there is very happy. We definitely talked about the NBA. The other sport I'm not going to talk a great deal about today, the NBA draft starts, NFL draft starts on Thursday. It is big in the respect Cleveland has the first and the fourth pick in the draft. I'm just going to say this right now. Cleveland Browns fans, if you don't think that your first pick should be Saquon Barkley out of Penn State, you're out of your mind. This is an elite, once in a decade type of running back. I'm not going to say once in a lifetime. That's Barry Sanders, and I'm not putting this guy in that category. But I'm going to say I think he has superstar written all over him, and I think the Browns should roll the dice on a quarterback. You're going to get one of the top quarterbacks with the fourth pick. So, hey. Pick Saquon Barkley and be happy, and then make the Giants have to decide what they're going to do. Because I'll tell you right now, if you let him slip through the cracks, the New York Giants are going to get a hell of a running back. That's exactly what's going to happen. All right, listen, What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University. You can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to Bubby's University. com for more information.
I mean, like you said, when you think back to, you know, early October when the season started, we were thinking about competing and playing hard and seeing what we can do. And now all of a sudden we're moving on to the second round of the playoffs. And, you know, we played good hockey and we got experienced guys and a good hockey team. So we're pretty proud of it and real happy. But again, we'll have probably a week off here and get ready for the next one. And it's awesome. It's been a great feeling.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. This week, the Vegas Golden Knights will host the San Jose Sharks in the Western Conference semifinals after sweeping the Los Angeles Kings in the first round. This is not just the greatest story in sports in 2017 and 2018. It's becoming, if not already, one of the greatest stories in Las Vegas history. It really is. And I mean, you think about, I want to ask you both, and Alan, I see you're chomping the bit, but tell me this. How big of a statement is that to say one of the biggest stories in Las Vegas history, considering Las Vegas?
No, it's legit. It's definitely legit. The bond this team has had with the community really transcends sports, and I think the team has taken its niches, not just a sports team, but an institution. And we've seen it the way the team has lifted this community's spirits after October 1st. And we've seen the way the team has galvanized the entire sports community and the entertainment community, I may add, as they've headed into the playoffs. And you know, you made a really interesting point about how you know it's the biggest story in Las Vegas. I would argue it's the biggest story nationally, and based on merchandise sales, you know, we LV Sports Biz did a story showing that merchandise, licensed merchandise of Golden Knights logo gear, is selling in 90 different countries around the world.
Wow!
And it's become an really almost an international phenomenon.
You know, it's funny because, well, what I said is, I said it's not just one of the greatest sports stories of 2017, 2018. It's one of the greatest sports stories in Las Vegas history, meaning this is monumental. It's something that for all of us to be a part of, it's like one of those things when you're a part of it, you're enjoying it, we're all wrapped up in it. You know, watching you and Magnum on Facebook Live at Game 4 down at the Staples Center was awesome. But I don't think any of us really appreciate at this point how what we're involved in. I mean, it's hard to appreciate it till when it's all over and you sit back and you reflect and you're like, wow. And here we are, we're all sitting in the middle of this. Mags, yeah. I mean, you've made friends with the players, but you know, you kind of knew maybe when you were getting the role of the expanded role of getting an opportunity to do so much that you would be meeting the players. But now you're meeting the players, and these guys are becoming international rock stars.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you talk about the relationships that you develop with some of these guys, and I'm at practice almost every single day. You know, I'm at every single home game. I was in Los Angeles, and you know, some of the guys that I've developed really. You know, I'll say this: the night that Fleury was injured against Vancouver, right? He took a puck to the face. It was a scary moment. People weren't sure what was going on. He missed practice the next day. I didn't care about hockey. I cared about Marc-Andre Fleury. I cared about his health.
Right.
I want, you know, and I think when you're a fan, maybe you don't really think. I mean, you think about those things. Obviously, you want your favorite players to be healthy, and you don't want them to get injured. But when you get to know a guy a little bit on a personal level, I think when things like that happen, you take it a little more differently, you know, because Marc-Andre Fleury is a fantastic guy. He's a great human being. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to him a little more in depth and personally the last couple of weeks. And, you know, something Alan said about the merchandise, I've seen pictures on social media. People in there was a guy, he posted a picture of himself. He was in the Galapagos Islands. And he was with some weird-looking bird. I think it was called a Bobby or something. And he's wearing his Vegas Golden Knights gear in the Galapagos Islands.
Yeah, that's cool.
I went to Asia over the summer. I rocked my Vegas Golden Knights shirt and my hat, and I had people stopping me, telling me, wow, that's a really cool logo. You know, I was in a Thai restaurant here in town the other night, on Wednesday, and a guy who I didn't know, he was wearing a suit, and he stopped me. He said, hey, is that a Golden Knights hat? I said, yeah. He goes, man, that's really cool. He goes, I can't believe how good this team is. He's like, I never watched hockey before this season, and all of a sudden, I'm hooked. He's like, I'm watching games that aren't even Golden Knights games. So the way this team has really built the foundation in this city is pretty incredible, you know. And I think it's a testament, like I said to Alan on Thursday, the vision of Bill Foley and the fact that he's got a lot of people working with him to make this just an incredible experience, not only for the fans here, but I mean, when we were in Los Angeles, and I joked about it, the Kings rolled out Eric Cartman on their video screen before the game, and he kills Kenny from South Park, and he says, respect our authority or whatever. And I'm like, that joke hasn't been funny since 1998. And this is what the Kings in Hollywood.
Get into modern times, yeah, man.
This is what these guys are rolling out in their pregame. And you go to a pregame at T-Mobile, it's like going to see a rock show. It's like going to see Ka.
Yeah,
at the MGM. And they reinvent themselves as the season goes on. They're not even waiting for things to get stale.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how about even when the Raiders are going to be coming in? There's no way it's going to be the same.
Well, I don't know.
Like,
I mean,
this is insane.
The bar has been set high as far as, you know.
There's big shoes to fill on this.
Yeah, but, for the Golden Knights, and, you know, it's a fairy tale, really, because, you know, you don't realize expansion teams don't do this.
You know, what's interesting is people wonder, what exactly is this adventure and journey? Well, to me, what makes the journey special is showing up at the arena, and you just never know what kind of entertainment experience you're going to see. And that, to me, is the beautiful thing, is that it's the team has brought in not only the hardcore fans, so many casual fans go to the games now, and it is an experience. That is the number one, I think, entertainment criteria. It's not about collecting tchotchkes anymore. It's about collecting experiences.
Well, I still
and the Golden Knights provide the experience. I mean, people love the merchandise. It's an extension of the experience. But when you go to the arena, it is, you know, like Mag said, they put on a show in every definition of the word.
Well, I've been saying for a while, it has become a socialite event. And you have a lot of non-hockey fans that just want to get a little taste of it. I don't blame them, but that's when you get the people, the expectations get really high. And I've done my best to try to curtail them on the show a little bit to let people know that, hey, enjoy whatever happens. Everything should be icing on the cake. I want to have expectations. That's what I was going to ask you. Missy, we have this issue in the press box, and I have this issue all the time. And I get to express it on the show. It is that being a fan, we're not allowed to be fans.
Can't say anything.
You can't cheer. And when they
Although
score,
we wear the right colors depending. No logos.
Well, yeah, but you can wear golden brown, but the golden black. But you can't cheer. And when you're in a double overtime game like Game Two of the first round, and that final goal gets scored, you know when it was Nosek, right, that scored that goal. He scores that final goal, and it wasn't Nosek. It was a Hala. When Hala scores that final goal, you want to go nuts. It's hard to sit on your hands and not be a fan and listen to all of us talking. Like Chris just said, you know, you get to know these players intimately and you're worried about them when they get hurt. I mean, when Riley Smith went down, I don't know him real well. I've met him a few times. I've interviewed him once in the locker room. But when he went down, not only was I like really sad because he is such a great hockey player and such an integral part of this machine that is the Vegas Golden Knights, the dude has become like a personal friend. All of them feel like friends, even though we don't know them, but we see them in the locker room. You see their tendencies. You get to know them. It's tough to not be able to cheer as a member of the media. And I never had that problem.
I think we have our own little, like, you know, little winks and stuff that we give each other, but it is kind of hard to hold back.
It is, isn't it? I mean, even in Detroit, in all those years in Detroit covering them, and growing up a Lions fan, my dad being a season ticket holder since I was like 10 years old at Tiger Stadium when they used to play there. And yet, I never, as I got into an adult and started working for the Detroit Lions Radio Network, I never found it a problem to sit on my hands. And man, winning for that team was rare, so you'd think I would have more of a problem there. No, I have a real problem in the press box. When something big happens, you want to stand up, and you're like, whoa, I can't do that. I'll get tossed out of here. That is really cool. I've never had that issue before, but we have it, right? It's hard.
I know. I mean, that's what's just going to have to happen, I guess.
Well, we can't cheer. It's just that simple. But no, we can let you know here on the show every Sunday
exactly
morning.
We really are huge fans.
I mean, the Golden Knights, you know, I don't know right now. This year I'd say they're on par with the Red Wings, but I grew up a Detroit Red Wings fan. And I'll tell you what, man, I am enthralled with the Vegas Golden Knights. They are barely a notch below my Red Wings. And don't be offended by that, people. I'm an AARP member. You know how long I've been a freaking Red Wings fan? It is amazing that I am putting them barely a notch below my own team.
Well, you know, I think the thing is, yeah, you're right. It is hard to not cheer, but I think you get to that point where you're like, you want to see these guys do well, but you still keep it. I cheer when I go home. You know, I don't cheer in the press box. I cheer when I go home. I cheer when I'm watching the games on TV. You know, I watched Game 3 on TV in L.A. Obviously, I was here on Sunday. I didn't go to Los Angeles. So, you know, I mean, you watch the games, and you can cheer there. I look at it this way. I'm not getting paid when I watch a game at home. When I'm at the arena, I'm getting paid. That's my job. So, you know, you leave certain things at the front door. But I know what you're saying, because it's like,
come on, you are standing and screaming inside when they win a game.
Like, John Merrill is one of my favorite guys on the entire team. I love John Merrill. He's the coolest guy. I mean, he's a big music guy. He loves he's a big Lions fan.
Michigan.
University of Michigan guy.
Yep, absolutely.
And when he scored that goal against Pittsburgh to win the game, it was so hard for me to go in that locker room and not want to high-five him, because I had a conversation with him that morning. He didn't even know he was playing that night. And normally, you know, he was up in the press box at that time. And I said, hey, I'll see you tonight. He goes, yeah. He goes, press box, gummy bears, or something like that. I was like, yeah. And then we find out he's playing. And I'm like, oh, I guess I won't see John. And then I told Clayton and Frank, I said, clearly he did know I was going to see him later because he knew he was going to score the game-winning goal that night, and and I would see him in the locker room after the game. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to not when Brady McNabb scored that goal against the Kings.
Oh, come on, we won.
There were so many. I mean, obviously it's Los Angeles, so there were so many Golden Knights fans. I wanted to jump down out of the press box. There was a guy right in front of me who was waving a broom. I wanted to jump down and high five him.
Well, actually, I have on Facebook Live here William Ramirez. He's saying it's hard not to cheer for Magnum socks and pineapple hat.
Yes, yes.
But I'm.
What about and Missy's a fan of the pineapple shirt?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm just excited to see what you wear for the next event. I mean,
it has to be something crazy
because if it's not going to work. The team's going to lose because of you. You realize this?
Now, Meg's got
to
be.
I'll bet some flair.
I'll bet he's going to be more. So listen, we're way late.
We got
Dan Duva coming up in a few minutes, so I want to get to that. Blazing around the corner. We are rocking and rolling with the Vegas Golden Knights here. Don't forget, we've got the Sports Biz Minute coming up. We're going to talk about some really cool merchandise you can still get your hands on down at the practice arena. We'll talk about all that here. Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly.
Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. A Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports and during football season. We'll be out there every Monday night giving away replica jerseys, giving away wing parties. So make sure you head out to Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango, Montecito Crossing Plaza. And hey, man, what is more blazing than the opportunity to see the Vegas Golden Knights for free? How can you do that? Because I get asked that all the time. Brian, can you hook me up with tickets, man? I want to go so bad. How often do you get asked that question, Missy? A lot, right? Can you get me tickets?
Amount.
Yeah, it's every. Yeah. There does not. I'll say this right now. There has not been 2 days I can string together since the Vegas Golden Knights officially made the playoffs that I have been asked, can I hook people up with hockey tickets?
It didn't happen in the beginning of the season, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it ain't going to happen at the end. Right. Well, it didn't happen, and when you asked, I couldn't help you at the beginning of the season without you going and buying them on your own. We're in the same boat right here, but
exactly,
you can see them for free, and that's what's blazing. Every time they practice at City National Arena up in Summerlin, it's open to the public, and it is free. You can see them skate. Yes. And as we were talking about before the show, I was talking with Alan and Missy and Mags in here. The bottom line is you get a chance to get up close and personal to the players. There's autograph opportunities. They've got a great shop there with some of the best merchandise and memorabilia, which we're going to talk about with Alan after we have Dan on the show. But see these guys for free, man. Isn't practice cool?
This is really important to know. Coach Gallant said specifically he is not going to close the practice ever. It's going to be open. And I also asked him, you know, what you talk about the players having fun and that being a key to their success. And he said, you know, during the practice, it's fun to see the players tap their sticks on the plexiglass, make the connection with the fans, and gets to the point that you can actually have, I think, a closer access and kind of a cool relationship with the players at practice more than even at the game.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, because you'll see the players, they'll come up and they'll interact with the fans. Sometimes you see guys throwing pucks up into the stands where the kids are. It was funny. We go to practice every day, and the guys never pay attention to us. You know, they know we're there, but they don't care. Yesterday, I'm wearing an Italian soccer jersey. And Tomas Tatar, who I really, really like. He's a super cool guy.
Ex-Red Wing.
He skated over, and he saw the shirt. And he looked at me, and he kind of like made the sign like, hey, look at your shirt. And
discount
he,
double check? And then he gave me the discount double check.
He gave me a thumbs up. I was like, it's cool. You know, those guys never know we're there. You know, sometimes they see us on our phones in the corner, and they'll hit a slap shot at the glass. But, yeah, what Alan said is 100% accurate. I mean, those guys they're so in tune. And I think, you know, the other day when I was there, Friday I think it was, they came out on the ice, and people in the stands were cheering, go Knights, go. And guys were tapping their sticks on the ice to acknowledge the fans like, wow, this is really cool.
People get out there. Do you hear this? It's available for you. And open practice, that's something we're not used to here in Vegas.
You don't even, well,
it's more like this.
Basketball doesn't
Alan,
do that.
Who's this? Guys. Open practice. I can't do an open practice to the media. I mean, for God's sakes, we won 20 games last season. You want me to open the practice? You win some, you lose some. So we won't hear that from Gerard Gallant ever, will we?
You won't hear that at the press conference.
That's Marvin Menzies, my impersonation of Marvin Menzies, but who decides to close practice to the media like it's going to really improve or their chances. I mean, Gallant knows, hey, come on out. The world, come watch us play hockey and then try to beat us, okay?
Well, and the thing is, I think a lot of people don't think Vegas is a sports city or sports town. You know, oh, it's Vegas. It's right. All transient. They don't support UNLV football. Here's the thing. This is a sports town. You go to a sports book on a Sunday afternoon during football season, and it's wall-to-wall people. People here love sports. Now, it may take a little bit of nudging to get them to leave their allegiance, whether they're Ohio State fans or whether they're, you know, USC fans or Laker fans or whatever. But people here love sports. And I think, you know, you could tell because look at the NBA Summer League. Look at the humble beginnings of that. And now you go, and you can't even find a seat when you go. People here love that sort of stuff. And these are guys who you never even really know. Or see, I can't see that, by the way.
No, I'm just telling you. No, you're right, Megs. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but Alan's one of the merchandising top 10 things he put on. It is actually a shirt that you can buy, and it says, I'm from, and there's a big blank space there, but I cheer for the Vegas Golden Knights. I love that. Is that cool?
That's great.
I'm from Detroit, and I think that that's exactly what you're talking about, is it doesn't matter where you're transplanted from. This has become as contagious as the E. coli that Missy's contracted last week, right?
Exactly.
It's
crazy. Hey, I lost a lot of weight, so it's all right. Okay.
I was talking to Steve Carr the other day, who is he's been here a long time, and he covered UNLV during Tark years. And, you know, he made there's comparisons between what this is and that. But he said, you know, this is a bigger story because the city's a lot bigger now than it was then. But I know you want to get out break, but real quick, I got to give a shout out for Blazin. UNLV women's golf team repeats as Mountain West Conference champions. The women's tennis team repeats as Mountain West Conference champions. And today, the men's golf, they take a 5-stroke lead into the final round. They win that. They will three-peat as Mountain West Conference champions. So hats off to Desiree Reed-Francois and everyone else in the UNLV athletic department, because right now, Rebels, home of champions.
They are becoming the home of champions. And I'll tell you right now, Dwayne Knight, like him or hate him or love him, whatever you do, he has been the coach of UNLV golf since I think the last dinosaur was in existence. And a lot of guys that have played for him, Charlie Hoffman, Jared Scott, Ryan Moore, have gone on to successful professional golf careers on the PGA Tour. And there's another two guys there right now that are looking like we're going to see them on the tour eventually as well. So absolutely, UNLV is sport. Other than the major ones we want to see are Blazin.
Yeah, that's one of the cool stories about the Shriners golf tournament here is that, you know, the PGA, talking about being a sports town, we have the major leagues of golf here. You know, we're a stop on the PGA Tour. And, you know, to your point, Brian, what's cool about UNLV golf is that, you know, one of the subplot stories always when the Shriners come to town are the former UNLV golfers.
That show up. They show up. They really have a lot of pride. And like I said, he's done a great job. If Dwayne Knight, I mean, I don't even know how much at this point in time, you know, you're listening to your coach that much other than on a few little tendencies, but that guy is one hell of a recruiter and has always made UNL golf since he's been the coach of that golf team a prominent figure here in the Mountain West Conference as well as nationally, man. They did well last year. Listen, we got to take a break. We've got Dan Duva, the play-by-play voice of the Vegas Golden Knights right here on Fox Sports Radio coming up after this.
Do you know where the tradition of the playoff beard started?
No, you tell me.
Well, I was hoping you would tell me because I don't know.
To be honest, I mean, look at my beard. So I'm not a big playoff beard guy. Never have been just because I can't grow anything. This is obviously a record-breaking year for my beard. I think there's two more whiskers than last year, but no, you should ask Angle or a guy with a big beard. I don't know. I have no clue.
Now, what are the rules, though? Like, I mean, are you allowed to shave under here? Because I'm growing mine, but it's a little itchy. So I mean, am I allowed to shave this, or do I got to keep it growing?
You know, early in my career, I thought you had to shave it after the last regular season game, and then, but that was with our team back then. So now I think over the last few years, guys just kind of get a head start. Guys like to have big beards throughout the whole year. I mean, you can make up your own rules. By the end of the day, when you're playing in June, you want to have a big, fat beard. I'm going to grow it out as long as I can. It's not going to be pretty, but it's all fun. It's part of the playoff run. So
you said you make up your own rules. So, like, are fans allowed to grow their beards too? Is that acceptable?
Hey, the more the merrier. So fans can grow it. Anyone can. Go for it.
Now, how about, like, getting a haircut? Are you allowed to get a haircut, or do you have to let that grow as well?
So that's the thing. Some guys are very superstitious. They're like, they're not touching any hair in their body after the last regular season game. And some, they trim their beard and make it look nice after every round. So we didn't set any rules in this team. Everyone kind of does his own thing.
Now, how about you? Do you have any playoff superstitions that you do that maybe nobody else would know about?
No, I used to have a lot of them. I used to, like, not go and get a haircut and stuff like that. And now I'm like, you know what? It takes a toll on you mentally. Playoffs are hard enough. I don't need any of that stuff kind of creeping into my head. So I kind of stopped with all that stuff a few years ago.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Back to the circle in Kopitar down low. He waits. He shuffles. Needles one in front. Kick save, Fleury. Rebound for Belmar. And he clears the zone up the far side. And now Theodore picks him up in the right corner. Theodore, the former Duck, going up against a familiar foe in Kopitar. He escapes to the slot. He moves down low. He shoots. Saved by Fleury. Oh, he got it with his left arm. Kopitar denied at point-blank range. With 3 seconds left, Kopitar tries to fish it out. Here comes the horn. It's over. It's a sweep for Vegas. The Knights beat the Kings 1-0. 4 straight wins to start their inaugural Stanley Cup playoffs. The Vegas Golden Knights advance.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
It is time for Nightcap, and joining us today, you just heard the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights play-by-play radio guy, and first year up in the big leagues, and I'll tell you what, I've been enjoying this guy all season, man. I had the luxury of being in Detroit for years and listening to Ken Cal, and before him, Bruce Martin, some great play-by-play guys. I think Dan Duva is going to be one of these guys as time goes on. Took a while to get here, Dan, but man, we sure appreciate you up here in Vegas. Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you're experiencing this for the first time. Who would have known if I would have told you last year about 2 months before this, so let's say a year and 2 months removed, when you were in Syracuse telling you that you were going to be the voice of the Vegas Golden Knights and they were going to be the most successful franchise in, I should say, most successful expansion franchise in professional sports history, what would you have said to me?
Well, I would have probably laughed, as I just said. And I probably would have said something like, well, you know, most expansion teams are so terrible, there's really not a very high bar. The thing is, they've just not been the best expansion team in sports history. They have been light years better than any other expansion team in sports history. In other words, you thought that they'd be competitive. When you've got a goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury, you think, all right, well, you know, he's going to be Marc-Andre Fleury, and if he has a year typical for his career, or maybe even a very good year for him, that they could be competitive for a playoff spot. Maybe they sneak in and they can actually play some postseason games in their first year. That was sort of the high end for me. I did not think that they were going to win the division. I did not expect, even once they clinched the division, that they would manage to sweep the first round, especially against a Kings team that had beaten them twice. They split the 4-game regular season series, and the way that they've done it all year, that they held the Kings to just 3 goals in the span of 4 games, the way that you've seen players emerge, not just have career years, but for William Karlsson to go from 6 goals to 43, and other players like Braden McNabb, who I'd seen in the minor leagues, to not only solidify NHL roles, but become sort of as reliable as any other defenseman, top pair shutdown type of guy that you'd expect to see on a true contender aside from Vegas. So I've been thoroughly impressed and definitely did not anticipate they would be this good, not nearly.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I didn't anticipate it either, even into the playoffs, Dan. And I've gotten a lot of grief the last 2 weeks. I had Frank Harnish on. He's on the show a lot with me. And we had him on a couple weeks ago, and we're sitting here in studio in Fox Studios. And I was basically saying, look, man, just to try to curtail the expectations of, and I don't want to call fans fair weather, flighty. Hey, they're learning hockey out here on the West Coast, and I love it, being from Detroit, seeing all these jerseys, and I watched it a couple of years ago when the Kings all of a sudden kind of rose to prominence, that West Coast started paying attention to the NHL. But no way could I have anticipated this. So I was saying, hey, look, if the Knights win one game in the playoffs, I will consider this the most successful thing I've ever seen. I will be thrilled, and we should all consider everything from this point icing on the cake. So people are hating on me, saying, well, you said you'd be happy if they won one game. One other thing I did say, Dan, when I was asked that week when Ballpark was on by a caller was, okay, so what are you saying? Can the Golden Knights, straight out, can they win the Stanley Cup? And I said emphatically, yes, but it is going to rely on one X factor, and that is number 29. If the guy stands on his head, and plays tremendous hockey throughout, you got to put the biscuit in the basket to win the games. And I said to everyone, how many goals did Marc-Andre Fleury give up in the first round? Three? So did not everything I say happen? I mean, if he stands on his head, we can't win. But the Golden Knights did, in fairness, only score seven. Granted, Jonathan Quick, an unbelievable goaltender. But they're getting ready to play against Martin Jones, who, by the way, people, if you haven't been paying attention, he gave up four goals in four games. And yet, that's one goal against average. And yet the Sharks scored 16 goals. The Vegas Knights scored seven. Something to be concerned about?
You know what? I all those numbers are worth at least examining. But I think that because there are different kinds of series. In other words, you'd expect the Kings to shut down any offense. Vegas, for most of the year, had the second best offense in the league. They ended up number five. You know, the way that the Kings play, they just smothered you, and they essentially went into shutdown mode, and they basically resigned themselves to the idea, we're not going to score a goal unless it's on a lucky break. So they just did everything conceivable to prevent Vegas from getting scoring chances, and they had the best defense in the NHL during the regular season. Meanwhile, the Sharks, you know, the Knights have managed to put some pucks in on the Sharks throughout the year, and it's just a very different kind of an opponent. I think it's going to be a much faster series. And frankly, the Ducks and what they have offensively is not nearly what Vegas has offensively. So I wouldn't go too bonkers about the numbers from what the Sharks gave up, what they didn't give up, and similarly what Vegas produced or what they didn't produce. But I think what you started out with about Fleury, I think, remains true. And when Fleury is at his very best, and really any hot goalie, you know, you see it right now with Andrew Hammond, who's the number three goalie. You know, it's amazing to see what the Avalanche have been able to pull off there just because you've got a goalie who can, you know, stand on his head, as you described. So when you've got Fleury playing at his best, and it's not just that Fleury's been outstanding. He has been. But you're seeing, I think, the defensive-mindedness of this group really congeal. And it's because of their speed, and it's not just speed in creating offense. It's speed in every zone of the ice. And so what you're seeing is there aren't many second or third chance opportunities for opponents. You know, the Kings, as I mentioned, they did not throw a lot at the Knights offensively like the way that the Sharks can. The Sharks are deeper offensively. But the Knights made sure that there were very few second or third chances. There were almost zero third chances. I think that that's a great a testament to how the Golden Knights have supported Marc-Andre Fleury and allowed him to flourish.
No question about it. They have played really, really well in front of them. A lot of hustle. And as you said, they've controlled all the zones, which is so important in hockey. You know, controlling the neutral zone, people, I think outside of the sport of hockey, don't understand how important that is. And they really did that in the LA series, which I enjoyed a lot. Real quickly, personally, and we'll finish up with the Knights, but I just had to ask you something. You get this call. I mean, so many people applied for the jobs when the Vegas Golden Knights came, the first professional franchise here in Vegas. years. You get the call from Gary Lawless saying you're the guy. What was that like for you to know that your life's about to change? You're moving up to the NHL, lifelong dream, and here you are now in Vegas.
Well, you know, you start to think about the people who've helped you along the way. And it's funny because the phone call was pretty late at night. I was from the East Coast, and you know, it might have been 7 o'clock or so, 7:30 for Gary, but it was you know, it was close to 11 o'clock East Coast time. So a number of the people that I would have liked to have called, I couldn't call because it was too late. So I happened to be in Massachusetts and Cape Cod. And, I've spent a lot of time with the Cape Cod Baseball League and the Chatham Inns. And so I managed, you know, to make sure I had a little bit of time with some people there, get some very close friends there, get them together, and tell them the news, and had a drink. And but you know, you think about all the people from, you know, of course, my parents. I did call my parents; they weren't quite asleep yet. And you know, some friends, colleagues, and different people. You know, some people in broadcasting, some people in hockey, other organizations I've been a part of. That was the neat thing about it, just to think back about how many people have supported my broadcasting career going back to my freshman year of high school in 1999, 2000, and now to see it here today, and how many people remain supportive, whether it's a text message or a tweet or a Facebook or a phone call or a text message. I can't begin to tell you how many people have come to visit Vegas over the course of this hockey season. A lot more than have come to visit Syracuse in the last 5 years, I'll tell you that. But that's what came to mind. And, you know, it's been a fun journey, and not only this year with Vegas, but my whole career I've enjoyed thoroughly, even if it's bus rides of the ECHL or the, you know, the challenges of the American Hockey League and trying to move up. The NHL has been a pretty cool stop so far, but as I have often told my students, it's once you think you're good and you can't get any better, it's the day you should stop. So I'm still looking to get better with every broadcast.
Right. And Paisan, I love your nickname. I have one question for you. What's your Sunday dinner?
Well, you know, it's just a matter of fact, I have some friends who are getting together for a barbecue today, but normally on a Sunday dinner, if I could go way back, God bless my grandmother, she made her eggplant, she'd grow her own eggplant, she'd fry it herself, and that was Sunday dinner quite often growing up in New Jersey.
Love it. The nickname given to him by Mike McKinnon, an old goaltender that actually played here for the Las Vegas Wranglers, the Sicilian Soundbite. I love it. Listen, Dan, could talk to you all day, and we definitely got to have you on again. Before I let you go, I want it, and please don't give me a homer one. I got to make the same thing. Your prediction for the series against the San Jose Sharks.
Well, I always hesitate to offer predictions in terms of who's going to win or how many games, but I'll simply predict that it'll be a faster series, and the Knights are going to score more than the 4 goals that the Sharks allowed, and the Sharks are going to score more than 3 goals that the Knights allowed.
I love it. He is Dan Duva. You hear him every Vegas Golden Knights broadcast right here on Fox Sports Radio. We appreciate you joining the show. And listen, I am hoping them nothing but success, wishing the Knights nothing but success. I just need them to lose one game soon, Dan. I made a commitment when I was in Detroit. I used to grow the playoff beard every year. This year I said I'm not going to grow it the whole season, just until the Vegas Golden Knights lose in the playoffs, and then I'll shave and start growing it again. Well, pretty soon we're going to change the name of my show to Duck Dynasty Part 2 if they don't lose a game pretty soon, because I'm getting hairy in here. Oh, go ahead.
I tell you, the playoff beard I had last year at Syracuse was thick and disgusting, but this year's playoff beard for me has a couple more gray whiskers than I would care to admit.
Mine has way too many, too. He is Dan Duva. We appreciate you, my friend. And that is Dan_Duva if you want to check him out on Twitter. We appreciate you, Dan. Thank you, man.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Bye.
Absolutely. All right, Listen, we are running way low on time here. We're getting close to the end of the show. I got to get the sports biz minute. First of all, I just want to tell you, Las Vegas 51s, we were going to have Jim Gem on. We're not going to have time for that today, but they will be in town. They're actually going to be out of town here coming up this week, if I'm not mistaken, right? Let's see, it's April. Yeah, they're out of town.
Well, they're home, I think.
They're home today and tomorrow, Mags, but they're gone all week starting tomorrow. They've got a day off on Tuesday. I should say they're playing LP Paso tomorrow. They wrap up the series with that value night.
They need a day of rest.
They do. And then they head to Albuquerque, and they'll be back Sacramento a week from Monday. So definitely got all kinds of stuff going on there for the 51s. Not having the greatest season. I got to see him play on Thursday night last week on Dollar Beer Night, and they had put on a pretty good performance.
They played a day game today?
They play a day game today.
I may head out there.
Today's game, I believe, 12:30. So, yeah, check it out, man. Yeah. A beautiful day for it. You got one more, a little bit of time. You barely get free time.
Yeah.
But real quickly, Alan, I want to get to the sportsbiz.com, lvsportsbiz.com. Go to the website, man. Be one of the 50,000-plus subscribers. Great stuff. Alan had an article this past, matter of fact, a couple days ago, that you wrote on the cool things that you can still get down at City National Arena for the, you know, they've got a great store down there and a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah, Brian Killingsworth, the chief marketing officer, and I took a little stroll through the store, and Brian showed me just the diversity of all kinds of T-shirts. And interesting to know, and this should kind of pique your interest, Missy, is that there's quite a bit of ladies' apparel wear.
Yes, sir.
30%.
Yes, he said 33% of sales were women's apparel. In the Arsenal team store there at the training center. So, yeah, check out the story. I took a lot of photos, and sometimes the photos really tell the story, really, in terms of the kind of diverse selection you have down there.
I got to ask you, because you're the guy who would be able to find out the answer. Why do they change the design of the pucks that they're selling that were used in the pregame warm-ups? Like, the puck that they use in the warm-ups doesn't have the bright white painting on it, and the logos in that. I mean, the fonts that they're using to make those pucks are really cool, but they're changing the design. It's not the same puck design that they're like. The picture on it is not the same that they use in the warm-ups, and I'm just curious as to maybe you know, or maybe you found out.
I have no idea.
You know what I'm saying, though, right?
I'm going to have to look into that. You know, the pucks actually are an amazing, coveted souvenir.
I've actually got a game used puck from the Penguins game, so it's very possible I am holding in my. Actually, it's now in my son's possession. The puck that John Merrill may have scored against Pittsburgh to win that game. I don't know, but I'd say it's a very real possibility that Sidney Crosby at one point touched that puck with his stick.
Oh man, greatest player on the planet, bar none. And I wish we had more time to talk about that, because Sidney Crosby again this year kind of coasts through the regular season, and the postseason gets here. And what does this guy do? He has like three different levels that he doesn't even use in the regular season. Listen, we're about out of time. I want to thank everyone. I also want to congratulate Max Ornelas, who was on the show last week. He wins the North American Bantamweight title, WBA boxing title on Friday night at Cox Pavilion. We were there to see that. That was cool. Also want to thank Dan Duva for coming on the show, Alan Snell for being here, Missy Lynn, Chris Magnum Chapman, Jose at Home Feel Better. Listen, we'll be back next week talking more Golden State, Vegas Golden Knight hockey, as well as we'll talk some NBA and the NFL draft. Out of line every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. right here on Fox Sports Radio. Radio home of the Vegas Golden Knights, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m. We're out. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for your understanding. And I want to thank the crowd tonight. The people of Las Vegas who were here and